Odyssey fans, I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine. Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Jesse, we've had a lot of notable moms on the show over the years.
Of course. There's Mary Barkley and Elaine Washington.
Ava Parker. Ann Jacobs?
You can't forget June Kendall. Even Connie is kind of a mom now.
Well, in a way. There's Whit's stepmother, Fiona Donnerall.
And how about Katrina Melsner, a foster mom?
There are plenty more, but now we can add Carla Perkins to that list of memorable moms. Carla, voiced by Rebecca Davis, made her debut in the Sandwich Initiative. And since then, she's become not just the mother of Wyatt and Bridget and the wife of Ron, but a major character in her own right.
We got to know her better in episodes like Always Home and Jumping Off, Jumping In.
And we'll hear more from her in The Protector, coming out this weekend on the radio and online.
Let's talk to Rebecca about playing Carla.
Rebecca, this is the first time you've been with us on the podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're really excited to talk with you and to find out about your background, because actors come from all different sorts of trades.
That's right. So we understand that you went to school for acting and even have a master's degree from UCLA. How old were you when you knew you wanted to study the craft seriously?
Honestly, when I was maybe five, I think I had my, for real, I had my first, you know, as my mom would love to tell, I had my first paid acting job when I was 6 years old. And I kind of never stopped.
Okay. Really. What was that acting job? Now you got to get curious.
Yeah.
I know, right? Well, it was The King and I. The first one that I did. And then I did Annie, I mean, for several years. I started off playing Molly, the youngest orphan. And by the time had passed in New York and New Jersey and Pennsylvania, I finished with Pepper, which, if you know the show, that's the wide range of ages.
Yeah. So tell us what's wrong with this false idea of kind of like natural acting ability. And all you have to do is just be discovered, because you really have to study it. And you did, of course, at UCLA.
Yeah, it is true. There's so much more about studying it and going deeper and learning the different techniques. Like I had that. I went to UT Austin for acting and directing. And then, like you said, I came out here for grad school and discovered so much more. And, you know, I'll be honest, there are those stories about someone was discovered, but you need to be prepared and ready. Because if somebody asks you, hey, you want to come out, you know, on this audition, or you've got the right look and you're not ready for it, well, that's going to leave a mark. So yeah, I think studying and doing classes, and I, you know, I'm got my career in voiceover now, and I'm still always taking classes, because the trends start to change. What was, you know, for animation 10, 15 years ago is not as popular now. Commercials are different. So you always need to keep studying, and you'll take little gems from every teacher. You might not completely connect with what they're saying with one teacher, but next year you'll work with someone else and you're like, oh, I get it now. That's what works for me.
Hmm. So the worlds of animation and commercials, that is changing. Now, Jesse and I, we're on the other side of the glass. I mean, we're watching it and hearing it as consumers rather than performers. Explain some of the differences that you've noticed.
Well, commercials have definitely gone away from the announcer. definitely gone away from that. And now it's, you know, we often get the spec of conversational and laid back. And, you know, I'm going into that right now. It really is, the commercials are just laid back. It's just you talking. But in your mind, you have to know who you're talking to and what it's about, but you're not really selling anything anymore. And I think even 10 years ago, you were still selling. Further back was the big announcer. And animation has also changed in the sense that we still do have those big, wacky characters and heightened realities. But you also have a lot more just natural, just your everyday voice, people talking, but in heightened situations.
Yeah. That's really interesting. You know, you talk about differences, and I know there's differences between voice actor and on-camera work.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You've definitely, like you said, the career in voice acting. So talk about, you know, the on-camera stuff, and if is that something that you just weren't really interested in pursuing? And then and why voice acting?
It's a really great question. I started, like I said, in on stage, and that's what I was doing for the first years of my life. And I actually discovered it when I was living in Austin, Texas. There's a company there that did a lot of anime. And I had an agent after I graduated from college and I was auditioning and I was doing some on camera. And she set me on an audition for anime. And at the time, I was fresh. I didn't really know what anime was. It wasn't nearly as popular as it is now. And I went and it was awesome. And I booked my first job and I just on my first audition and I loved it. It was so much fun being behind the mic and playing, you know, my first character was playing four different aliens that were all related. Anime. And I had so much fun discovering these different sides of myself and my character and my voice. And then I came out to UCLA and was in my little grad school bubble and was only concentrating on stage and film on camera and commercial. And I was doing it for a while after school. I'm in Los Angeles. I felt like, oh, this is what I should be doing. And through a series of events and doing some self-exploration and workshops with other people, I rediscovered my love of voiceover and decided for me personally on camera, my heart wasn't in it. I didn't want it so badly as some people do. And I commend them for being able to hustle like that. It's great. But I was going to the auditions. When I'd get an audition, I was not excited. But then when I, in the beginning, when I'd get an audition and I got my first agent for voiceover, every time it was that rush was so exciting when I'd get behind the mic. And I've never lost that. I mean, luckily now I have a lot more auditions on a daily basis and more opportunities. But when I step into the booth for a job, I still get that rush. And I love it.
Well, we're glad you're with us in Adventures in Odyssey.
Thank you.
Outside of our show, where might listeners have heard your voice? And is the voice you're sharing today the one that you would typically use? Or do you have a fun repertoire of different voices?
That's a great question about the repertoire. You can hear me in a lot of video games in which I get to expand. Sometimes I'm just myself. And sometimes I'm, a giant animal or something, and I get to really explore my voice. But you also hear me in animation and like Lego Friends and Incredibles 2 and just kind of all over, really. It's fun. And and a lot of dubbing. I do a lot of dubbing foreign films now into English dub, which I absolutely love.
Speaking of your credits, which are very wide-ranging, we've seen your name at the end of a lot of movies and shows under additional voices. So what does that mean in the credits, additional voices?
So additional voices means, it means a few things, actually. It's the background voices sometimes. It's looping an ADR where you're in a restaurant scene and you hear people just like kind of in the back like this and you don't really know what they're saying, but you just sort of hear that sound. And that's actual people improvising, being in the background of a restaurant. And it's also in video games, the same kind of things. These, they call them NPC, which are the non-player characters. And they're the kind of people that, give you directions of where to go on your next journey kind of thing. Oh, yeah, I saw that guy walk over there. Things like that. And with animation, it's also very similar. It's all those background sounds. Or sometimes, like I was saying with film and stuff, you can't really make those sounds out of what those people are talking about. But additional voices sometimes in film and in video games, or I'm sorry, in animation and in video games and film, I guess, you have specific parts where you are that person. They can hear you say that line, but you're not really an identified name to put in the credits, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I have a great time doing the background and additional voices. Like, I don't need to be up front and center. I'm chill with that, and I get a paycheck at the end of the day.
That's right.
I noticed that your resume also mentions additional crew for Pixar's Incredibles 2. What did that involve?
Did they change that where it says additional crew now?
You can't trust everything you read on IMDb. I think Adam MacArthur told us that.
Yes, you cannot, because there have been credits on there that are not mine. Credits that are, I mean, there's at least like 20, 30 things that I can think of that's not on there. I was in Incredible 2. Incredibles 2, I played a police officer, which was, for me, it was, I mean, that was a dream come true. I didn't eat when I auditioned. I didn't know what I was auditioning for. When I booked it, I didn't know what I booked. They gave me the directions. Oh, go to the Disney lot? Okay, what is this? Walked in the door, still didn't know what I was doing there. And then they handed me a contract and I'm filling it out. And then I see Incredibles 2 on the contract. And I can't explain to you how much I was sweating and trying not to freak out in front of everyone, because all I wanted to do was jump around and scream and yell. And it's just like, nope, NDA, cannot talk about this until it comes out. But that was, I don't know where this began, why I just started talking about that. But I, yeah, that was a dream come true. And then I went into the studio and Brad Bird was there directing me. I was like, what is happening? That was awesome.
Yeah. Well, let's move over to Adventures in Odyssey and just have to find out, how did you make that first contact with the Odyssey team?
You know, that's a great question, because honestly, I'm not entirely sure. I was going back when I knew about this, that I was going to be on here. I went back through all my old emails to find what was the first point of contact. Mm. And I couldn't find anything. Maybe it was an audition, but I keep everything. I feel like, in my mind, maybe you guys know, I feel like somebody recommended me and I was just asked to audition, because I can't find anything through an agent.
You know, in the past, you know, Katie Lee has been a big conduit from the acting community into Adventures in Odyssey. Are you and Katie friends?
I am. So do I get to say thank you, Katie?
It was probably her.
Oh, well, now I have to wait for a while, but now I want to hug her. That's so sweet.
And so you came in and you played Carla Perkins in a single scene on the Sandwich Initiative.
Yeah.
So at the time, it sounds like you didn't know this was going to be an ongoing character. So what did they tell you about bringing you back for more episodes?
And you're right. I had no idea. I was like, oh, great. It's like a quote unquote walk-on part or something. And then at the very end, I was saying goodbye to everybody and I was leaving my script there. And somebody, and I wish I could remember who, I think it was the director, said, hey, we'll see you next time. Keep an ear out. And I just remember that kind of double take of, what? Did he say that? Okay. and then I remember I went back and I told my agent, you know, it was a great session and they said that I might be coming back. And when I did come back the second time, I did not know it was going to be a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth. I think maybe it's been 8 episodes. I started with Odyssey in January of 2018. Hmm. So, it's been that long.
Well, we have some plans for the Perkins family, so don't go anywhere.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yep.
Well, it's always important, you know, that Odyssey actors develop chemistry with one another. In your case, though, especially important that the Perkins family feels like a family. Describe how you did that pre-COVID, and how does it work now when you're having to record remotely?
Well, pre-COVID, I vaguely remember that first time, but I definitely remember the second time even more, where I was hanging out in the lobby waiting to go in and other people are coming in. And I'm the type of person that just, I want to strike a conversation with anyone. But also, you never know who is there and who you may be working with and who you may not, who you may run into again another time. And I was just chatting with Eric, who played my husband, and with Keely, who played my daughter, and didn't really know at that time that we were a family. And when we got in there, it was like, oh, yes, we already know each other. I know about you. And just in general, if I hadn't met them before that, the second I get into a session, if it's what I love about Adventures in Odyssey is that it's a group record. So you're able to work off of each other and play off of each other and kind of improv a little bit with each other. And that's gold when you have that.
And so how are things different now? Because again, you don't have those, you know, between scene sessions where you can talk to each other, or when you're waiting. It's so different and we can't wait for it to get back to normal. But, you know, how is it now?
Oh, I miss them. I miss my other little family. It's a challenge, Because like I was saying, when we're in the room, it's wonderful. But I'm so happy that we already had that in the room experience.
Right.
Because we already had that camaraderie before. It was able to, it made it easier for us to reconnect that way. And there are times we don't see each other for months and months at a time. And then when we get back in for a session, when it was pre-COVID and when it was, you know, during right now, you just kind of go right back to where you were.
Yep.
Which is beautiful.
Something that's been a frustration for many of us during the pandemic is how hard it's been to travel. Have you missed that too?
Oh, literally a year ago from this day, my husband and I were about to travel for a month to Japan and China.
Oh, wow.
And we know how that went. And my husband and I are we're avid travelers. That's how we first connected on, was traveling and backpacking. And so our life is, we work so that we can go travel, kind of, you know, we save up and we do it. And so we've been going through just withdrawal.
Oh, I bet. Well, hold that thought for a second, Rebecca, because now it's time for our
TRQ,
or totally random question. It comes from a fan who goes by Pony One. And Pony One asks, if you could go on an all-expenses-paid vacation anywhere you wanted, where would you go?
I want to go to Antarctica, but it's way too cold, so I can't say yes to that. But can I just say Europe in general? It's so hard. We have a little thing where we're scratching off all the places that we've been and where we want to go, and I think I'm at 42 countries.
Wow. Well, maybe it wasn't any accident that Pony One's question happened to fall to you, Rebecca, because
that's right.
You are the traveler.
Exactly.
Really.
If Pony One had asked Jesse and me where we would go, we would probably say Burbank, California.
Oh.
It's been a pleasure talking with you, and we really do hope we get a chance to see you again soon.
Yes, the feeling is absolutely mutual. So yeah, I'll put Burbank on my list after.
All right.
Thanks so much, Rebecca.
Thank you, guys.
You can hear Rebecca as Carla in The Protector, March 27th on the radio and online.
Something tells me there's a preview just around the corner. Ah, here it is.
On the next adventure in Odyssey, Wyatt Perkins believes he has a superpower.
My protective instinct.
But when he tries to use his new ability...
I can sense that you're nervous about crossing the street on your own.
I'm not nervous at all.
I have an instinct about these things. When I see an old woman scared to cross...
Old woman? I'm 48. Young man.
Don't miss the next adventure in Odyssey.
If you can't wait, you can hear The Protector and all of the episodes in Album 70, Finding a Way, in the club right now. The address is aioclub.org. It's also available on CD and download.
That's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family. Check out our website at adventuresinodyssey.com.
Or if you need anything from Focus, you can talk to someone in person at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure.
It's time to level up. Give your kids a safe, faith-focused, and biblically-based community, and so much more. Join the Adventures in Odyssey Club. Club members get on-demand access to the exciting Adventures in Odyssey series, including more than 900 episodes. With faith-building activities, parental controls, and a safe online community, the Adventures in Odyssey Club could be your best adventure yet. Learn more and start your free trial at adventuresinodyssey.com/radio.